Well, we're going to continue in our series this morning, Secure, learning how to protect what matters most. And we've been studying biblical principles from the Word of God. Where is Satan targeting homes? What tactics is he successfully using to destroy homes? And then what can we do in our homes to secure our relationships and to defend our homes against the attack of the wicked one? And we're going to pick up from the lesson that we began last week and kind of conclude those thoughts. These children have been working together and kind of working and conniving to talk mom into getting a pet. And finally, they talked her into getting a hamster. And they promised that they would care for the pet and take care of all the chores that went along with the pet. And so mom let him get a pet, and they called his name Danny. Well, within 2 months, the inevitable happened. The kids were doing none of the chores, and mom was taking care of Danny. It was her that was feeding. It was her that was cleaning out the cage. It was her that was filling the water. I mean, she was doing everything, and finally she had had her fill. And so she decided enough was enough. And she called a family meeting with all of the kids, and she said that Danny had to be given to a new owner. She told the kids that it was time. And one of the kids said, "Well, we're sure going to miss him. He's been around here for a long time." And one of the other children remarked, "Yes, maybe he could stay if he ate less and just wasn't so messy." But mom was very firm. She had made up her mind, and she said, "No, it is time that Danny is taken to a new home." "Danny," the kids began to cry, "we thought you said Daddy." And sometimes in the life of parenting, you're never sure where you rank compared to the pets. But nevertheless, what we're talking about last week and this week may not make you their favorite, but it's going to help them. And it's going to be something that is needful in the home and something that we need to understand. And we talked about last week Satan's second strategy of drawing out and devour. We laid the groundwork for the fact that God has given authority in the home. God has placed the husband as responsible for the home. He's going to stand to give an account. God has placed the wife under the husband. God has placed the children under mom and dad. God has an authority structure that he has ordained for the home for the benefit of the home. And we talked about the fact that we live in a culture and in a society where they tell us that authority is bad. And that if you are under authority, you should rebel against that authority. You should get out from under that authority. That would be what is best for you. And that is a tactic of Satan, because Satan knows if he can get you out from underneath the protection of authority, that then you're more vulnerable and open to the attacks that he would bring to your life. So what's Satan trying to do in our homes? He's trying to draw out and devour. We read in Psalms 147 a description the Lord gave Israel, when the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, verse 11, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. And the children of God were being encouraged, praise God for the protection that he is providing. And some would read that passage in 2018 and say, why would we praise God for bars? Why would we praise God for this, you know, inerrant prison? Why would we praise God for these restrictions or these limitations? You know, we want freedom. We want liberty to do whatever it is that we want. But the Word of God was teaching the children of God, be thankful for protection. Be thankful for boundaries. Be thankful for walls and bars and these kinds of things, because they are there for your good. They are there for your protection. And when they are not there, we are vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And so we learn the importance of God's authority and to our obedience of it. And Satan knows it, and he wants us to rebel against it, and he wants us to be out from under that authority and under that protection. So in today's lesson, hopefully if you missed last week, go online and listen to it. Hopefully we come in today in the same heart, and that is we agree we need authority. We agree it's from God. We agree it's for our protection. But we also know that Satan's going to try to divide and to draw out from authority and then to bring destruction to our home. So what do we do to prevent that? So we need authority, but how do we have the right kind of authority? How do we have the right kind of atmosphere in our home where our children want authority and where they benefit from that authority and they're not led astray to be out from underneath it and then open to Satan's attack upon their life. And these are things that we need to take careful note of in our homes. And I want us to look at four areas that we've got to be very careful of when it comes to how do we govern our relationships in home so that our children or our spouse or whomever is not looking to get out from under, but rather enjoying the protection of the authority that God has ordained. Four areas that we must take note of in our life as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. Number one, pacificity breeds rebellion. When you and I are leaning towards being a passive parent, it brings rebellion out of the hearts of our children. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Now, in our culture today, we have a plethora of passive parents, okay? Now, what do we mean when we say a passive parent? A passive parent is one who takes a non-role in their children's life. They coexist, they share the same address, but they don't have a significant role. They're not a parent, or they're not a leader, or they're not the chief influencer in their child's life. Every mom and dad in this room should desire that you are the chief influencer of your children's life. Now, I'm thankful that my kids have got good, godly teachers at school. I truly am. I'm thankful right now as we are in here that Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph are under the tutelage of good, godly people teaching them the Word of God. I am truly thankful for that. I'm thankful for the grandparents. I'm thankful for aunts and uncles. I'm thankful for friends and neighbors. I'm thankful for coaches. I'm thankful for a lot of people in the lives of my children that are a good influence. But make no mistake, I don't want anyone to have more influence than me. That's my role. That's my job. That's something I desire. And that's not just going to happen. That's going to have to be something I intentionally develop in the hearts of my children. I have to work at that to make sure that I hold that place in their heart. But a passive parent has a non-role in the life of their children. They're consistently taking the path of least resistance. And passive parenting is certainly the current approach to parenting today. As you kind of just look at America with a broad brush, passive parenting leads the way. We're just kind of letting it unfold and hoping it works out and they make it to the end without dying or going to jail or whatever. The standard is pretty low, sadly, in our culture and society today. And a passive parent is one who is making the decision to disengage from the spiritual battle that's happening in their home. Satan's not going to give up in trying to destroy our home. God is always available to give us victory, but the parent has to decide to get in the ring. And if we don't decide to get into it, it's going to be the detriment of our children. And that's the choice that many passive parents are making. And it is certainly a grave mistake. Why? Because there's nothing more intense happening in your home than the spiritual warfare that's going on. It's real. Satan hates every marriage in this room. He doesn't want them to last. Satan hates our children. He doesn't want their lives to be lived in a way that pleases and honors the Lord. He wants to destroy them. He is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And so we need to recognize this is intense, and our family needs us to be wholeheartedly involved in fighting for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in your notes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You and I can be mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds if we will be involved in the spiritual warfare for our children. Now, a recent Newsweek magazine contained an article that was entitled "The Power of No." And the article nailed it on the head when it said that modern day parents have confused permissiveness with love. And the experts went on to agree that too much love will not spoil a child, but too few limits and rules will. We live in an era in 2018 in America today where we are being told time and time again, if you have a home with limits, rules, boundaries, whatever you want to call them, that you are the problem. That your child is now somehow kind of being, you know, squelched when it comes to his creativity and his full potential. And you are the problem if you identify or implement any type of limitations or boundaries in his life. Well, Newsweek magazine is not a Christian publication, but even they said, hey, you can't love a child too much, but you can implement too few limitations to their own detriment, the problem or the power of no. And so we recognize we're fighting a spiritual battle. It's not an easy thing. It can be exhausting for sure, but we have to make the commitment to be in it, and we have to take it very seriously, and we have to be careful to understand I cannot be passive. I cannot just throw it in neutral. I cannot just hope it all works out. I cannot do nothing and expect this thing to work. It doesn't happen that way. That's like me leaving class today, not working one single minute this week, coming back to class next Sunday and expecting to have money in my pocket. Now, I know in America, we expect that. That's a problem. The Bible says if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. I'm an able-bodied person. I can choose to get out of bed, get dressed, go to work, and work hard. And I can earn what I should earn. And if I don't do that, why do I have an expectation that I should receive something that I've not earned? And this thinking has permeated our culture and society down to the very fabric and core of our homes. And so as moms and dads, we've begun to assume that we don't need to be as involved as maybe our parents were, or maybe as the Bible teaches. We can just kind of take a passive approach and it'll all work out fine. And I'm here to tell you, it won't. We cannot succumb to being a passive parent. We have to be involved in our children's lives, and we have to be submissive to God's will and role for us. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submission to God is the prerequisite to resisting the devil. So if Satan's after your home, how are you going to get victory in that? Submitting to God's will for your life. You've got to stay engaged in the spiritual battle in the power of the Holy Spirit. Him helping you to be the husband you ought to be, the wife you ought to be, the father, the mother. He's empowering you to be whom you ought to be for your family. And we want to be careful of succumbing to this temptation to be a passive parent. Eli in the Old Testament was a passive parent, and God brought judgment on his family for it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. God said, I am going to judge the house of Eli because of the sin of his boys, Hophni and Phinehas, and specifically because Eli knew about it and he didn't do anything about it. These boys were immoral. They were stealing from the house of God. They were lawless in their behavior. And God said, I'm going to judge them for it, and I'm going to judge this home. And specifically because that daddy knew about those boys and he restrained them not. Moms and dads, it is not okay if you and I know something about our child that displeases the Lord and we do nothing. That is not okay. That is not our role. We are parents, moms and dads. We roll up our sleeves, we get involved in the lives of our children, and we help. It's not easy work. It's not clean work. Sometimes it's messy, it's exhausting. Sometimes you're overwhelmed. Sometimes you're like, I don't know what to do. Join the club. That's parenting, all right? This is group therapy. Get your coffee, get your donut. We'll encourage one another, all right? That's what this is. If our kids only really knew what we did in here, right? That's what it is. But we cannot take a passive approach. We've got to be in God's strength. We've got to be in God's power. And we've got to do our part, staying engaged in the battle. Now, let me encourage you. The devil cannot win against an obedient, spirit-filled, engaged spouse or parent who chooses to stand. You say, Brother Rule, my marriage is about to crumble. Let me read that again. The devil cannot win against an obedient, Spirit-filled, engaged spouse. Brother Rule, our home is in shambles. Let me read that again. The devil cannot win against an obedient, spirit-filled, engaged parent. So what's the answer? Be obedient. Lord, what would you have me to do? Be spirit-filled. Don't go at it in your own strength. And be engaged. Get involved. Turn the TV off. Hang the hobbies on the wall for a while and get involved in the lives of your family members. Lord, I want to be engaged. How do we prevent rebellion in the hearts of those in whom we love the most? Don't be passive. Number two, rules without relationships breed resentment and rebellion. Dr. Bobby Robertson was the first one I ever heard personally say that statement. I don't know if he coined it. Many certainly have quoted it. Rules without relationships breed resentment and rebellion. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God said, listen, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with my love I am drawing you to me. God loves us, no doubt about it. God draws us to Him from His love. Everyone in this room is equally loved by God. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. The ground is level to cross. God loves all of us the same. There's nothing we can do to earn the love of God. There's nothing we can do to take the love of God away from us. We are all loved by God. God loves us and He draws us to Him with His love. But in the confines of the love of God are some regulations that God wants us to follow as we live for Him. Now, here's what we have in our homes in America today. We have two problems. We have homes with no rules, and we have homes with no relationships. No wonder homes are in such bad shape as they are today in American culture of 2018. I'm sorry, but if we had homes like we should have, we would not have what we had in Santa Fe Friday. Well, I don't know what the answer to all this stuff is. I can tell you what it is. It's strong homes. It's daddies and mommies at home, loving God, loving each other, loving their children. And I'm not demeaning mental health. I don't pretend to know all the details. I'm just telling you, this trend of violence, this trend of rebellion, this trend of out of control behavior, much of it is because we do not have homes in America like we used to. And we have many homes in America today where there are no rules. The kids can do whatever they want. They write the rule book. And then on top of it, there's no relationships. We share the same address. We share the same refrigerator. We share the same space. But there's no deep relationship. And we wonder why. We have 14-year-olds settling differences with shotguns. Because rules without relationships breed resentment and rebellion. Now, I just want all of us to understand something biblically. Rules are an expression of love. This idea that if you love your children, you will not in any way impose any limits or boundaries upon them is straight from the pit of hell. That was like the illustration I gave last week of the dog inside the fence yelping at the pit bull on the other side because he wanted to go run with him. Take the fence down, he's lunch. Okay? And that's exactly what it is with your children when there's no rules, there's no limits, there's no boundaries. Brother Earl, I'm doing that out of a heart of love. And I mean this in truth as your friend and in love. No, you don't. Because rules are an expression of love. Let's be honest. It would be a lot easier if I didn't have any rules in my home. It would take a lot less of my time. It would require a lot less energy for me. There would be much less to manage. Let Mariah, Lydia, and Lena, and Joseph do whatever they want. That's not an expression of love. That's the easy way out. When you get in there with love, and you provide the boundaries and the structures that are necessary, that are given from God, that in eras gone by were common sense. Yes, it's going to require some effort, but it's the right thing to do. So rules with relationships. Rules being an expression of love. They're a byproduct of love. The Bible says in Romans 13:3, for rulers are not a terror to good works. People that are there that provide boundaries and structure and limits and warnings from God, they are not there in terror of good work. That's not what's hurting American homes today. Now, there's an extreme, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But there must be a relationship, and there must be the guidelines that are the expression of our love. Guidelines are necessary in any strong relationship. Every marriage in this room has some guidelines. Every home in this room has some guidelines. Your children are not allowed to set your home on fire. So there's a guideline we all agree on, okay? Your kids are not allowed to run around the community naked. There's another one we agree on, okay? I could keep going, all right? Then I can get into the group maybe we don't agree on, and that's irrelevant. It's not like your boundaries have got to match mine and mine have got to match yours. But let me ask you this simple question. Do you have them, and did they come from God to you? Because every home should. And we should have them from God for our home that will help us to govern as it should be. And every rule in our home must lay upon the soft bed of a loving relationship. And so we have to analyze our lives as husbands and wives. How is our relationship? Is it strong as parents and children? How is our relationship? Is it strong? And it may be that we need to fortify that relationship. It may be that we need to take an evening this week and just go take a hike or take a walk or whatever. It may be that we need to sit around the table and play a game. It may be whatever that we got to make sure that the relationship is right, but then out of that relationship should have some governances, some rules, some limitations that help provide direction for the home. And I just want to encourage you, go through the scriptures and identify what are going to be the rules of our home. 1 John 2:11 says we ought to love one another. Proverbs 16:11 says we ought to tell the truth. John 10:10 says we ought to live an abundant life. 1 Corinthians 14:40 said all things should be done decently and in order. Hebrews 10:25 says we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Means go to church. And on and on and on and on and on you go. Ephesians 6 says children obey your parents and honor them. The Bible has a lot to offer in the area of providing some governance and some direction for the home. So there has to be a relationship and there has to be the rules and they have to be in balance in the home. The key is every rule we set forth in our home needs to be biblical. It needs to be reasonable. It has to be explained very clearly. And they have to be enforced by a loving relationship. That's the foundation. I don't want Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph developing in their mind that all that matters in life is me adhering to this list. That's not it. What matters is that I have their heart and they have mine. What matters is that I'm following God and they're following me. And in the 18 years that I have them, that there's a transition where they are following God on their own. And I'm cheering them on. And they understand that they are loved by God and nothing will ever change that. But they also understand that while they are loved by God, there's an expectation that God has of their life. Did you know be holy, for I am holy, is in the Bible? And so, yes, God has some expectations of our life. And out of the love that we have for Him, we want to be constrained by that love as we live for Him. So it is not rules that break families. It is bad relationships that break families. And sometimes people want to look at Christians and say, well, it's because of the Bible and it's so narrow-minded and it's because of their list and their rules and all of this and that's why these things happen. No, rules don't break families. Bad relationships break families. You have to have the foundation of the relationships, and then out of love, you have to have the consistency of the rules to help govern your home. God never gave rules without His love. God's love and God's law cannot be separated. Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so your loving relationship with your family will offset the pressure of those rules and those guidelines, and we have to constantly strive for the balance. And so you may be in this room this morning, and you may have a great relationship with your spouse and with your children, and there is unquestionable love there, but it's a little lax in some structure, and that needs to be resolved. Or it may be we are heavy on the structure, but there's no relationship. And the kids live in fear. And that needs to be brought into balance with love and a relationship. Because rules without relationships breed resentment and rebellion. Number three, inconsistency breeds rebellion. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came at all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If you love the Lord, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. I love that story, and we don't have time to get into all of it. But you know what we're learning? Consistency is huge. Elijah was saying, how long are you going to flip-flop? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be paralyzed without making a decision? And many times in our homes, rebellion is developed in the heart of a spouse or a child because there is no consistency. We come to church, but then we bash the whole experience on the way home. Our kids get a bad grade and we bash the school system. We constantly have a reason for why it's not what it could be. And sometimes if we're not careful, our children watch us put on a show and they see who we really are. And that inconsistency begins to plant some seeds in their heart and their life that are destructive and can bring rebellion about. We've got to be very careful that you and I strive to live consistent lives. Now, listen, none of us are perfect. We're all going to mess up. It should not be that uncommon in our homes to go to our spouse or to go to our children and say, "I'm sorry. I should have said that. We should have watched that. That should not have happened, and I apologize. Will you please forgive me? Daddy needs to do better. Sweetheart, I need to do better," or whatever. That should oft be said. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but we don't want to make the same mistake over and over and over again. We want to strive to live a consistent life, and we want to be careful that in God's strength, we are providing for our children a consistent example for them. God loves us and blesses us in spite of our flaws and our inconsistencies, and God will bless and honor us as we're striving to be consistent, but as we give grace towards others as well. God blesses this church, and the leadership is not perfect. God blesses other ministries and institutions, and it's not perfect in that regard, and God will extend grace, and God wants you and I to extend that same grace to others as well. Inconsistency will breed rebellion. The key to consistent parenting is to consistently having a pure heart before God. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And Satan will use our inconsistency and our criticism of others to destroy the very foundational years of our children. Moms and dads, we have got to be careful with blatant inconsistency. We can't do it. If God has blessed you with children, you cannot afford to live a double life. You can't do it. One, they know. Two, you run a very high risk for that leading to their destruction. So you better stop and think about how much you value being able to do what you're doing. Is it really worth the future of your child? Is it really worth them reaching their potential? Is it really worth their ability to have the foundation necessary to live a life that pleases and honors God? You better think about it. Because if there's a double life and they're watching it from the inside, that's going to breed rebellion. When you sit in church and you listen to preaching and even have the audacity at times to amen or whatever, you know, stand and sing like everything's good, and they've watched you live in a way that totally contradicts that during the week, you know what they're sitting there thinking? They're sitting there thinking, this is an absolute joke. Dad doesn't believe that. He certainly didn't last night. This is just a show. That's all this is. No wonder they get 18 and hit the door and never come back. Because it was a facade. It wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. And oftentimes, because those they know the best were living a very inconsistent life. Now, does that mean the standard for you and I is perfection? Heavens, no. But the standard is this. To the best of your ability with God's help, live purely and honorably before the Lord. Set the right example. Strive for consistency. Number four, and we're done. Divided authority breeds rebellion. Divided authority breeds rebellion. Now, every kingdom, Matthew 12, 25, divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Divided authority breeds rebellion. Now, we've talked much in this series about the responsibility that we have to fight that spiritual fight for our family, to stand in the gap for our family. But we've got to recognize this, that in the life of our family members, there are multiple authorities. You've got mom and dad. You've got pastor. You've got teacher. You've got coach. You've got whoever. And so you've got multiple authority figures in the life of your child, and they all bear a responsibility to protect your child. But here's what you have to understand. Divided authority breeds rebellion. When you and other authorities in the life of your child or someone you love are not on the same team, the protective hedge that God intended is gone. And we have to recognize the value of unified authority, because Satan wants in the lives of our children divided authority. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." None that would stand in the way, making up the hedge, standing in the gap. Now, in Bible times, the wall around the city was its protection. Strong gates, thick walls, lots of good defense. Well, the Bible is saying, how crazy would it be if the defense was fighting against itself? So instead of the gates being closed to keep the bad guys out, the gates start fighting against each other. Now the bad guys can get right in and all the people die. God says that's exactly what happens when the authority figures in the lives of your family members are divided against themselves. What does that mean? And I don't have time to develop the whole thing, but I'm going to give you a couple bullet points. What does it mean? It means as moms and dads, number one, you are responsible for every authority figure in the life of your child. Number two, you have to be in unity with every authority figure in the life of your child. It's as simple as that. Well, I don't like what they're learning here or there. I'm sorry. Why are they there? Moms and dads, you are responsible for every authority figure in the life of your child, period. Number two, it is your responsibility to make sure that all those authority figures are unified. That's my job. So if Lydia comes home from school and she got a grade or a discipline or a whatever that I don't think is right or fair, I don't talk to her about it. That's divided authority. I go to the teacher and I talk about it. And the teacher and I make sure we're in agreement and unity. And by the way, be very careful to believe everything your child tells you about their teachers, lest their teachers believe everything they tell them about you. That's from 6 years of school administration, right? Be careful. But very simply to say this, don't have divided authorities. The worst one is mom and dad. When children know that mom and dad are not on the same page, boy, it hurts the family. When the children know that mom and dad are at odds over whatever the case may be, the children can sense that. It's like blood in the water to a shark. and they know something's up, and I'm telling you, it's to their own detriment. So what must we learn as parents? We have to recognize the enemy is going to do anything he can to get to the lives of our children. We have to have unified authority. And when we destroy the foundation under the authority of someone else in our children's life, we are destroying our own foundation of authority in their life. Remember that. This foundation, or these authorities rather, have to be in unified. So don't criticize authority in the lives of your children. Praise them. Well, they're not perfect. They could be doing better. Me too. I hope somebody tells my kids, hey, you got a pretty good dad. I hope the standard for that compliment is not perfection. So may I look for an opportunity to say, man, you got a good teacher. Man, that coach is a blessing. Man, that Sunday school teacher, that's awesome. Man, I'm glad they encouraged you to do that. Man, this is great. I want to verbally support and praise the authorities in their life. Parents, recognize that divided authority breeds rebellion. It destroys the hedge. So, Satan wants to draw out and devour. What do we have to do? Be engaged. Have a relationship. Be consistent. And be in harmony with the authority figures in your children's life. Know who they are and be in unity with them. And you may need to move some pieces, but better to do that and save the foundation than to let Satan have an entrance in and destroy the hearts and minds of our children. And may we do all we can to secure what God has given to us. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that we find this morning. And Lord, we know that Satan desires to destroy our family. We know that Satan desires to sift our children as wheat. We know that Satan desires victory. And yet, Lord, with you, we're on the winning side. And so may we understand this is Satan's tactic. And then, Lord, may we strive to do what we can to shore up our home and to protect it and to have everyone in it be under the umbrella and protection of authority. So, Lord, help us in this room to stay. I'm going to be engaged. I'm not going to be passive. I want to have a relationship that's true and authentic. I want to be consistent. Lord, helping me, I want to provide the right example. And then I want a unified authority structure in the lives of my family members. I don't want us to be divided. I don't want them to see the walls crumbling down because we can't get it right. But I want them to see us being united and in harmony for their foundation and for their good. Lord, strengthen our homes. Bless every husband and wife and mom and dad in this room this week, I pray. In Jesus' name.